He was still calling there when he heard the first sound of the planes. It was just then he got through to the observation post.
Yes? Gold said, quietly.
He was sitting leaning back against the sandbag, his feet against a rock. A cigarette hung from his lower lip, and he was looking up and over his shoulder while he was talking. He was seeing the expanding wedges of threes, silver and thundering in the sky, that were coming over the far shoulder of the mountain where the first sun was striking. He watched them come shining and beautiful in the sun. He saw the twin circles of light where the sun shone on the propellers as they came.
Yes, he said into the telephone, speaking in French because it was Duval on the wire. Nous sommes foutus. Oui. Comme toujours. Oui. C'est dommage. Oui. It's a shame it came too late.
His eyes, watching the planes coming, were very proud. He saw the red wing markings now, and he watched their steady, stately, roaring advance. This was how it could be. These were our planes. They had come, crated on ships, from the Black Sea, through the Straits of Marmora, through the Dardanelles, through the Mediterranean, and to here, unloaded lovingly at Alicante, assembled ably, tested and found perfect, and now flown in lovely, hammering precision, the V's tight and pure as they came now, high and silver in the morning sun, to blast those ridges across there and blow them roaring high so that we can go through. Goltz knew that once they had passed overhead and on, the bombs would fall, looking like porpoises in the air as they tumbled. And then the ridgetops would spout and roar in jumping clouds and disappear in one great, blowing cloud. Then the tanks would grind, clanking up those two slopes, and after them would go his two brigades. And if it had been a surprise, they could go on, and down, and over and through, pausing, cleaning up, dealing with, much to do, much to be done intelligently, with the tanks helping, with the tanks wheeling and returning, giving covering fire, and others bringing the attackers up, then slipping on and over and through, and pushing down beyond. This was how it would be if there was no treason, and if all did what they should. There were the two ridges, and there were the tanks ahead, and there were his two good brigades ready to leave the woods, and here came the planes now. Everything he had to do had been done as it should be. But as he watched the planes, almost up to him now, he felt sick at his stomach, for he knew from having heard Jordan's dispatch over the phone that there would be no one on those two ridges. They'd be withdrawn a little way below, in narrow trenches to escape the fragments, or hiding in the timber, and when the bombers passed, they'd get back up there with their machine guns and their automatic weapons and the anti-tank guns Jordan had said went up the road, and it would be one famous balls-up more. But the planes, now coming deafeningly, were how it could have been, and Goltz, watching them, looking up, said into the telephone,
No, rien à faire, rien. Faut pas penser, faut accepter.
Goltz watched the planes with his hard, proud eyes that knew how things could be, and how they would be instead, and said, proud of how they could be, believing in how they could be, even if they never were, Bon, nous ferons notre petit possible, and hung up. But Duval did not hear him. Sitting at the table holding the receiver, all he heard was the roar of the planes, and he thought, now, maybe this time, listen to them come. Maybe the bombers will blow them all off. Maybe we will get a breakthrough. Maybe he will get the reserves he asked for. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the time. Go on. Come on. Go on. The roar was such that he could not hear what he was thinking.